Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome again to another radio broadcast here, WBOB. I'm so thankful to be with you. This is Brother David Clark coming to you again from Jacksonville, Florida. So wherever you're listening from today, on the air, on Facebook, on the website, whatever, we greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. So thankful to be with you again. I'm going to get right into the Word this morning. For sake of time, I want to make sure that I can get this message to you. I just want to welcome everybody that's listening from Baker County Correctional Institution and from Florida State Prison, all of our guys out there. We really appreciate you tuning in, family, friends, everyone. We're just so thankful to be here. And I'm so thankful that we have Christian radio in Jacksonville, Florida, and an outlet where we can get the word out uncompromised. And at one point I spoke to the gentleman that manages this station, and he knows who I am, what we stand for and everything. And he supports that. Now, you couldn't ask for anything better than for a public forum like this to just get the word out without fear of being shut down or anything like that. So thank the Lord for that. So let's get in the Word this morning and enjoy this this Word today. Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 11 through 18. We'll turn my volume down there a little bit in my ear. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 18, reading here, it says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I want to go back and read verse 17 again. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, I want to talk just for a few minutes this morning. Our time constraints are 30 minutes. I got to hurry through this. But I want to give you the word that God's put on my heart. I shared this last night in the prison, and I really just believe that this is not for one particular group of people. This message is for the church. This is for the worldwide church of the living God today. If ever there was a message that needed to get out to the church today, it is the message of this hour right here. The title I want to put on this, I don't do a lot of titles a lot of times, but because the Lord laid this on my heart, I want to talk to you out of verse number 17, where he said, "Come out from among the world." The title the Lord gave me for this is, come out wherever you are. Come out. Now, I want to give you a little history this morning on that term. You know, the term coming out now in 2018, it has a totally different meaning than what the writer in the book of 2 Corinthians intended for it to mean. Nowadays, that term is something totally opposite. It's contrary to the Word of God. In the 1970s, the homosexual movement became more and more prevalent. And whenever they would reveal their sexuality to someone, their preferences, they started referring to that as coming out or coming out of the closet, revealing their identity, their sexuality to someone. And so now that is the movement today where we have, that we don't, they have coming out parties. They have this, that, or whatever to reveal that. But I want to share this with you this morning. The church had that statement first. That was ours before it was the world. You understand? The Bible said in verse number 17, wherefore, come out from among the world and be separate, saith the Lord. So before the world had that term, that belonged to the church. We were coming out of the world long before they were coming out of the closet. You understand? Today, if there is ever a message that the church needs to understand, is that the Bible is calling us to come out from among the world and make a distinction that we are not like this present world. The church can never be associated with what this society, this world stands for. Everything that is contrary to the word of God, it must be condemned by the church. It must be not supported, not condoned, not tolerated by the church. There must be a coming out from this present world. Now, I know that this is going to rub a lot of folks the wrong way. I know that holiness preaching is not nearly as popular as it should be, as it once was. But the fact of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, is in this present hour, holiness is still right. It is still required. It is still relevant. We must be righteous. We must be holy. The Bible has not changed. We must come out from among the world. Now let's read these scriptures this morning. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God is always in the scripture giving us instruction and then showing us what the results of our obedience to the instruction will be. If you come out from among the world, and if you are a separate people, and if you don't touch the unclean thing, and if you have clean hands and a pure heart, then the results will be, I will receive you. I will bring you into my family. Verse number 18 says, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The popular thing with the world now is, we're all God's children. We're all just part of the family. But I want to tell you this morning that unless you've been born again, unless your sins are covered in the blood of Jesus, unless you are washed in that crimson flow and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you are not a child of God. I know that that's not popular. I know, because we're inclusive today. We include everybody. We don't discriminate. Everybody's tolerated. Everybody's sin is overlooked. But the Bible does not give any room for misunderstanding. Come out from among them and be separate. Remove yourself from the midst of the sinful world that you live in. Remove yourself from the midst of the conversations that you're caught up in. Remove yourself from the middle of all the worldliness that has crept into the church today. Everything that names the name of Christ is not the church, is not the body of Christ. We have a charge from the Bible this morning, a biblical mandate to make sure that we are separate from this present world. This world cannot be in us, and we cannot be in the world. We must be separate. We must be a holy people. We must be a people whose affections are set on things above and not on things of this earth. This passage describes the age-old contrast between good and evil. For as long as you can remember, there's always been a good and an evil. Every plot in a story, every song, every movie that's produced, it seems like there's always a good and an evil. Every story you heard growing up, there's always a hero. There's always a villain. It is the age-old conflict. Well, today the conflict goes on. We are living in this present world, but my friends, the evil that lurks here cannot be in our heart. We have to be in this world, but we cannot, above all, we cannot be of this world. We must be a separate people. The Church of Jesus Christ is here on this planet to be a light and to shine the glory of God to the world so that they can see Christ and be born again. It was never the intentions of Christ to establish his church so that we could become like the world we're supposed to be witnessing to. But today's church has taken such a drastic turn. Let me meddle here for a minute, all right? Today, if you were to go into 90% of the churches in Jacksonville, Florida, I live here so I can pick on us. If you were to visit this morning 90% of the churches in Jacksonville, Florida, you would notice that a couple of things have changed over the years. And I know a lot of people say, well, you got to move with the times. Well, the Bible is timeless. The Word of God is forever. It's eternal. It never changes. And what Bible says, what God was yesterday, he is today and he will be forever. He never changes. So why do we have to change? Why do we have to back up? Why do we have to compromise when the Word of God never changes? What worked for our ancestors and what worked for grandma and grandpa, it still works today. The power that is in the blood of Jesus, the power in this Word of God, it still changes hearts and lives. It still transforms the vilest of sinners. So why in the world would we want to change that? You go into a lot of churches today, and you'll notice some things are different. Number one, the altars are missing out of the sanctuary. We say, well, that's not a big deal. That's the biggest deal that there is, because those altars are a place of death. They are symbolic. But they have a function to them. It is a purpose for the believer to come to that place in that sanctuary, and they must die. They have to be faced with the reality that self must die, the Adam nature must die, and Christ must be the only thing that's living in this heart and this life. I must be buried with him. I must be crucified with him and resurrected into new life. The altar is the symbolism in that sanctuary that before you go back past those altars, before used to be you couldn't get on stage and do anything in a church unless you were born again. Now you go in churches, they got so much garbage on the stage, you don't know who's saved and who's not. You don't know what function that you're at. You can't tell it's a church anymore, all because they have allowed the things of the world to penetrate the church. We're no longer separate from this present world. It's such a terrible thing that's happened whenever the church has become the thing it is supposed to be evangelizing. No power, no authority, no deliverance, no healings are taking place in the church anymore. It's not because God has changed, or not because the church cannot do things, not because the church cannot have the power, but because we reject the power, because we neglect our prayer life. We neglect to come out. We neglect to be separate. But God is calling us back to our first love today. Brothers and sisters, we must return to our roots. The church must return. It's not just a matter of what we look like. It's not just a matter of what we people say about us, or what the name of our church sign says. It's a matter of Jesus being on the throne of our heart. It comes down to whether we want to evangelize this world, or whether we want to become the thing that Christ established a church for us to evangelize. The church has an awesome responsibility in this last hour to shine the light of Christ to the world. My brothers and sisters, today it is a terrible tragedy whenever we fail and we neglect to share this gospel with the world, because the world has crept into our own life. It's a terrible tragedy, but it's so widespread today. And the answer has never been more clear than it is right now. It's not a hard problem to solve. Sin is really not a hard problem to solve. The remedy is the same thing it's always been, an encounter with the cross of Christ. A visit to the altar, a visit to the foot of the cross, and to go back and to let Christ become real and become relevant in our hearts once again, and the church can arise. The church can be powerful. Now listen, I'm not one of these doom and gloom people that say that the church is a thing of the past, that say that revival is a thing of the past. I believe that God is pouring out revival. I believe that God is using the church. I believe that this wonderful body of Christ is making a change in this last hour. There's so many folks that are heading up so many works right now, that are going across this world, that are going across this nation, and they're bringing about change, and they're bringing about deliverance, and they're helping and they're blessing through the power of Jesus Christ. It's not impossible, but the only way it's going to happen is if you and I come out from the world and are separate, and we allow Jesus to be all in all in our life. We allow Christ to be the thing in our life which he so desires, and that is Lord of all. My pastor used to say Jesus will be Lord of all, or he won't be Lord at all. Come out from among the world and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse number 18 says, and I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, the term there that God's putting out in this scripture, the 2 Corinthians 18 there, 6:18 says, I'll be a father unto you. That term father there, it has so many different things that goes along with that. For God to be our father, for God to come alongside of us and give us what we need, for God to provide for us and to help us and to help us make it. Listen, we can't afford to risk allowing sin into our heart to separate us from God. I need him today. Do you need the Lord? I need him. I can't live without him. God is everything. I can't wake up in the morning without him. I need him taking care of me, watching out for me. He knows the steps that I take. But listen to me. We have got to follow the word of God letter for letter. There's no room for error today. Jesus must be Lord of all. The church is in such a critical hour where we're trying to reach the world, but we can't be an effective witness for Christ because we haven't had a revelation of Christ. We haven't had an encounter with Christ. Now, there are people that are going to preach all this and that, and the problem with the church is the way they dress. The problem with the church is where they go. The problem with the church is this, that, or no, they don't agree on doctrine or whatever. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the problem with the church is not the agreements on the petty and the minute thing. The problem with the church is that all of us need to go back to the altar and pray until we be endued with power, until Jesus is Lord of all, until the Holy Ghost fills us all in all, and then we are empowered to go out and to preach and declare the word of God to this present world. We must come out. The message today is to the church, to the body of Christ, come out. Come out wherever you are. Whatever condition you find yourself in, whatever state of compromise you've allowed yourself to slip into, whatever you've allowed the enemy to bring into your heart, whatever lies you may have accepted from him, saying you don't have to live that way anymore, saying that you don't have to do this or that or whatever, we must return to the truth of the scriptures. We must return to the truth of God's word. Holiness is right. Righteous living is right. But it's not just because we say that we're right. It's because the Bible declares that we must be holy as God is holy. Now let's move on here. The church has always been and will always be a distinct, separate body of believers who have forsaken this present world to be conformed to the image of Christ. You and I this morning, our attitudes, our appetites, our desires, everything, our ambitions, our goals and our dreams, all of those things that we aspire to be are nothing outside of Christ. You understand? We can have the highest goals and dreams for our life. We can have the best aspirations and the best college degrees. But outside of having a heart for Jesus Christ, outside of having a biblical doctrine, outside of having a biblical revelation of who Jesus is in our life, everything we aspire to do will be nothing. Everything we try to do for God, everything we try to do for our families, it'll all crumble in our hands. Have you ever tried things in your own power and it just falls apart? Have you ever tried to do things in your own wisdom, in your own understanding, instead of turning to God and saying, Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your plan for me? How can Jesus be exalted through my life? Well, today, brothers and sisters, we're in a position that we're in today in the church world because we have tried to do things in our own power. We've tried to do ministry in our own strength. We've tried to do counseling in our own wisdom. But God is calling us back to a place where he is Lord of all. He's calling us back to a place where he can flow through the church. He can be what we need. He can be everything. And the job will be done. It'll be done right the first time if we allow Christ to be on the throne of our heart, if we allow him to be all in all. First of all, we must be born again. Now listen to me. This message is for the church, but I just want to address this to the unsaved this morning. Before you can go any further, the first thing you have to understand is you must be born again to be part of this glorious church. No one's going to heaven. No one's going to do anything for God. You must stop at the altar. That's where your journey begins, is at that altar. You must be born again. Jesus Christ must be seated at the throne of your heart. If you've never been saved, that's your first step this morning, and God's ready and willing to meet you there when you pray. Bow your heads and ask Him to save you and deliver you from your sin, and He will save you. Next, we must be a holy and a sanctified people. We must return to biblical holiness and godly living. And third, we must be filled with the Spirit of God, which is the power to live in this present world and declare the works of God. The church must return to her roots today. We must return to holiness today, without which we're not going to see God. There's going to be folks that stand before God in judgment, and they're going to say, Lord, I went to the nations in your name. I went to the remote villages of Africa in your name. I did this and that. I ran revivals, and I had food banks, and I fed the homeless, and I did whatever, nursing home and prison ministry. And God is going to look at them and say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Because the Bible said that they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. It'd be a terrible thing to stand before God having done these things for Him, knowing that in the end we're still going to be sent to hell. We'll still be turned away from Him because we denied the process. There's a process that must work in us, and that is the process of the blood of Jesus. We must do this thing right. The church has got to return. Verse number 16, I want to read that. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Idols in the sanctuary in the Old Testament was the highest form of desecration of the temple. God was very clear in the commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Idol worship in the Old Testament was prevalent. You remember the children of Israel as they walked through, being led in that wilderness by the cloud by day, fire by night. Seemed like every time Moses was turning around, they were whining and complaining. Seemed like every time he turned around, they were trying to worship false gods or make some graven image or whatever, just because they needed something to worship. They had allowed the despair. They had allowed the compromise to enter their heart. Well, today, in the hour that we live in, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You understand? We are the temple of God. Our bodies are His temple. This is His habitation. And now we allow idols and things to come in and live in this heart. We allow the desecration is no longer of the physical building, because God doesn't just, He's not limited to inside that building, inside that Holy of Holies. Now He lives in here. He dwells within this temple, and I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. But whenever I allow idols and things to come in, and I move God off of the throne of my heart where He belongs, and I allow other things to take the place of Him, I am coming more and more like the world. We call that in the church compromise. We call that backsliding. Listen to me this morning. We've allowed so many idols in the church world. We've allowed so many idols in our own personal life. And God is not going to share a residence with idol worship. He's not going to share a residence with football worship. He's not going to share a residence with country music worship and all the things of the world that the enemy will bring in and say, you can mix this with Jesus. You can still do this and go to heaven. You can still act like that. You can still cuss like a sailor. You can still gamble and lie and steal and be everything that the Word of God says you shall not be, and you can still go to heaven. You'll have a form of godliness on a Sunday morning. You'll have a form of godliness when it matters in front of people that you know are born again. But at the end of the day, my friends, it's all going to boil down to, has the blood of Christ been applied to your heart? Do you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And more than anything, has that old nature, that old character been changed so that you are a different man, a new creature in Christ Jesus? The old things are passed away and the all things are become new. As the scripture says, listen, the idols of this world have crept into the church. We idolize people and we idolize singers and we idolize music and we idolize this and that or whatever. But the bottom line is the main thing has got to be the main thing. You can go in a lot of churches today and they're promoting everything other than the move of the Holy Ghost. They're promoting everything other than holiness and righteous living. My God, it's so depressing to ride through Jacksonville, Florida and read billboards for churches that advertise everything other than biblical holiness. Come watch movies with us. Come see movie characters. Come get Jaguars tickets. Come do this. Come do that. Come have fun. Let's do this. Listen, and I know we must have fellowship. I know we must have programs for young people. I'm aware of that. I'm not against supporting our youth. I'm not against supporting the young people. We've got to. We must. It's our responsibility to take care of the next generation. But it's our responsibility to raise up godly young people that know how to get on their knees and get a hold of God. When is the last time you prayed in front of your teenager? When is the last time they heard mama and daddy in the bedroom praying in a heavenly language because they've gotten down and they've entered in the throne room of God and the Holy Ghost has come in and that child knows that mama and daddy is on fire for God? When is the last time? Friends, we can't really complain about the state that our young people are in when their mamas and daddies have never lived in front of them. We can't really complain the state that the world is in when the church has backed down on what she believes and there's no godliness in the home anymore and all the kids know are what's on television. All they hear is what the worldly music of today is. There is no godliness in the church world today. We must return to godliness. We must return. Come out wherever you are. Where has the enemy backed us into? Where do we stand today as a family unit? Where are our goals? Where are our priorities? Are we living this gospel in front of our children? Do you know the blood of our children are going to be on our hands when we stand before God? He's going to ask us, what did you do to lead them? What did you do to be the example to your child? Their eternity is at stake this morning. We owe them a gospel. My God, I owe my children a gospel. I owe them the good news that Jesus saves, that he heals, that he delivers. I owe them the truth. If there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. They'll lay hands on the sick, pray the prayer of faith, and they'll recover. I owe that to my children today. I owe them faith in a God that hears and answers prayer. We can't afford to allow worldliness and this present world to creep in and to usurp authority over Christ in our heart. We must be the church of Jesus Christ. Today in Jacksonville, Florida, what we need now more than ever are churches that are on fire for God, that have forsaken this present world, that have pushed aside everything that is contrary to the word of God, that will stand up and say, in this present world, I refuse to compromise. I refuse to be numbered in that crowd out there. I must be the church of the living God that this Bible says I must be. Our children are depending on us. Our co-workers are depending on us. We must be the church of Jesus Christ. I've got to go. I'm out of time. I love you. I'm praying for you. Get up and get to a Bible-believing church this morning and get in those altars and let's touch God today. God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.